Warheads, before we get started with today's episode, we wanted to talk to you about something very cool. Great, now that we've got your ear, just to let you know, starting October 24th, our entire back catalog, we are proud to announce, will be officially available on Stitcher Premium.
Wow, that's awesome.
That's so good, it's scary.
Too spooky. In addition to that, starting October 31st, you'll also get bonus episodes of Horny for Horror. A lot of stuff you will not believe is coming your way. It's double the show.
That's right. And we'll be doing special episodes that are really focused on the season. So you gotta get premium.
Get it.
All right, take it away, Freddy.
Hello, boils and ghouls.
Boys and girls.
You're listening to Horny for Horror, the galaxy's number one horror comedy podcast.
Yeah, that's right. And it's hosted by three legit horror heads where we just kind of do everything celebrating our favorite genre, horror.
That's right, and you can be a part of it by reaching out to us at Horny for Horror. That's Horny, the number four horror, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, all the social medias. If for any reason you haven't listened before, welcome, you lunk. I'm Mono.
Hey, I'm Lunk. I'm Betsy, you lunk.
You stupid lunk. I'm Adam. It's so nice to meet you, you lunks.
We
love lunks, and we love life.
Guys, lunks.
Today's podcast is a very special one to us. We have a very dear friend joining us today. One of the sweetest, funniest, nicest people of all time. You know him as the creator, writer, and star of Love on Netflix.
Oh my God.
One of the Inglorious Bastards.
Oh my God.
And a co-writer of Pee Wee's Big Holiday. Paul Rust is joining us
today. Hi, guys. Thanks
so
much.
You forgot. He's kissed Beth Cooper.
That's right. I kissed Beth Cooper. That's right. And all of those were horror related titles, so I feel like I'm well suited to be here, right?
That's one of those included.
From the horror, thriller, suspense genre. Yes.
Love is scary, yes. Like the concept of it. Inglourious Bastards, you were with Eli Roth.
That's right. He's
spooky.
A horror maestro.
What is he like?
The maestro. Did you talk about horror with him while you were
Yes, we did. Like, I mean, everybody on that set was a big horror fan. And also in the audition. Short for audition.
Oh, okay.
Get that, listeners. Write that down. Go get a pen.
Got it, Lunks?
That's how you book stuff.
I spoke with Quentin Tarantino about horror movies, and I think that's what got me the role. I was able to like talk horror movies. So,
cool.
That's awesome.
So then, definitely. And I remember to make Quentin Tarantino laugh feels really good. So I have like the three times I did like cataloged in my brain.
Oh my God.
And there was somebody was telling a story about how they went to camp with somebody and they had to go around the circle and introduce everybody. And then when one kid introduced himself, somebody pantsed him. and I said, and 1 year later, that boy returned to the camp. And then a poor joke. Got to laugh.
Laughed real hard and he goes, and don't talk anymore. We just need you to stand still.
Well, what's cool is that I remember the joke, that I retold the joke on a podcast.
That's pretty big.
I continue to want affirmation for it.
My God.
I think it's very cool of me, right, guys?
Yeah. Love it.
We all agree.
This was a decade ago.
Okay, that's it. We're done.
All right. That's what we wanted to hear.
All right, lungs, sound off in the comments section. Let us know what you thought of the joke. I'm guessing you grew up with horror then.
Yes.
What was like your early introduction to horror?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's the like dip your toe in the baby pool of horror, which I guess is like... trying to think of something that I remember.
Like Unchained Andalou.
Yes. My parents would sit me down and show me black and white films. You know what? Probably the first thing that I saw that I remember scaring me was either the Thriller video, the Michael Jackson video, when his eyes turned to cat's eyes.
That was horrifying.
Scary.
And the freeze frame. Like having a little freeze frame on it makes it very scary.
I love the idea that you made it all the way through that video. You're like, yep. And then the freeze frame, you're like, That's it.
Well, you know what? I had a friend who lived around this neighborhood. I won't state it because you don't want some weirdos walking up the street.
Yeah, good idea.
You lunks. But he was a majored in psychology, and he had a book that was about... child fears and what they're related to. And it was a report about how there was a substantial number of kids who were scared by the Thriller video. Mm-hmm. And the reason it's scary is because when you're a little kid, you're still figuring, this is what they said, that like, and I believe it, okay. God damn it.
Yeah, of course.
That like when you're a kid, you think anything is still possible. You don't know the rules of things yet. So yeah. Like, you think like a phone could also have like teeth and bite you. Like that could always potentially happen.
Yeah.
And so having Michael Jackson, who is like, you know, a comforting music star, mm-hmm. turn out of nowhere into something scary, which I guess on a subtextual level, maybe that was true always. but I think that was partly what was scary about it, was just like the suddenness of it.
I also feel that just like when endings are cliffhangers as a child, that fucked me up. Like I still remember Are You Afraid of the Dark, mm-hmm. that ended unresolved, or had the monster comes back at the end, freeze frame, or blackout, and I was like, no, no,
like, this closure. Is the world now, and you're like,
right. Now this is out and released. It's like,
I think that's the thing that fucks you up as a kid.
Well, you know what? Endings that were like, this isn't even horror related. Just when a show would end with like, the words would come up at the end, like that would like, and now, now in present day, this is what, like if you were watching like a made for TV movie about a true life story.
Right.
And then the words just came up as like, so-and-so is currently living. Oh, I'd just be like,
horrified.
Like,
horrified.
And it could be like an inspirational story about a fireman who like saved an orphanage. But I still like when those words come up, I'm like,
The fact that
was the horror I liked. Text.
Those little updates.
Text on a screen.
That's two times in a row now you've said what scares you is like an afterword or like the final thought of something always scares you.
Epilogues and denouements.
What your character's trapped in film in that moment,
forever.
Unable to escape.
Yep.
That's fair.
I think we all do. Yeah.
I just rewatched the original Frankenstein, the original Universal Frankenstein, and it ends with it cuts to their wedding and like the Frankenstein's dad is like, well, it looks like I'm gonna get a grandson, and happy music plays and it says the end. What?
That's so wild.
That's how like endings used to be.
That's
it had
so
to be
great.
Like, no, we won't end it like the book with like ambiguity and like how dark and heavy it is. We'll just have them end on
it
a wedding where
like
they're all excited.
Happily ever after.
When people were sitting down for Frankenstein, they were like, you know what? I hope this ends with somebody becoming a grandpa. That would be a really great. Like the old Dracula is really funny because I've thought before, like when I was watching it, like, it's not sophisticated enough yet to kind of like have the language be different. Because so, like the people who are in the movie, it sounds like they should just like run away the way people are talking. Because they were like, somebody pulls up and they're like with a carriage or something. They're like, what are you doing in Transylvania? Like, I'm going up to that castle to visit Count Dracula. You're like, that sounds terrible.
That
sounds awful. You know that sounds bad.
That's so funny.
What year is this one?
This was like the 30s one.
Not Nosferatu.
The one after that. Maybe in the Nosferatu, they're also going like, hey, I'm going to go visit old Nos.
Well, there were enough
terrifying Nos.
Little minor tweaks to Nosferatu to get around the copyright.
Is that true?
Yeah. So that's why they like changed his name, Count Orloff, and like little things. But it's very funny because to me, that's like the first example of copyright infringement.
Yeah.
So it's funny to see like what points they pick.
Yeah.
So Thriller, do you remember like the first movie? Was there a movie that was big to you?
The first movie that I saw that like was like a definite hard R, you shouldn't like be watching this scary movie, was Friday the 13th Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan.
Yes.
Yes. Out of all of them.
That is so funny. So wild.
Yeah.
That was just an apartment building the whole time, right?
It's on the boat for most of
the whole time.
Yeah.
And then he goes to Manhattan and knocks a guy's head off on
the
roof.
Last 10 minutes are in Manhattan.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one before that is essentially Jason versus Carrie.
Telekinetic girl.
Yeah, and that one is just the last 10 minutes of them fighting, too.
Exactly.
Like, trick you.
Where that girl's teen angst brings Jason back.
Yes.
Where she's, like, mad at her dad.
Yep.
But you host a Jason podcast, correct?
Yes, in Voorhees We Trust with Gorley and Rust. That's Matt Gorley and I, and we go... through episode by episode each of the Friday 13th movies. We're up to eight. We just did
Okay, great. Eight,
so. Oh my god!
But that, as I was talking about it with him, I was like, you know what? This was the first actual horror movie I watched, and I remember it was like at a buddy's house with an older brother.
Oh yeah,
of course. And then it started, and we watched it, and I remember. What was, for me, scary about watching scary movies when I was a kid was that there was like a dual fear, which is one, oh, I'm going to be scared by this. Like, I'm going to watch The Exorcist and it's going to freak me out. Then the second fear is, and I won't be able to tell my parents that I'm scared because yes. I shouldn't have been watching it in the first place.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're like trapped in this like thing where you're like, I'm really going to go for it right now. If I watch this, there's no way I can tell my parents the next day, like, I'm scared because I watched part eight, Jason Takes Manhattan. Yes.
It's like when your parents are like, you can watch, but it's going to scare you. And you're like, no, I'm good. And then you're like, you can't say anything. So you just shake. That's a fucked up ending too, to see as a kid where he's like melting.
Oh,
and he like vomits and then
he's
his
nasty.
Face melts away.
Yeah.
It's horrifying.
But it's also weird that, your first movie is the eighth part of something. Yeah.
You missed all the plot that you needed to connect why he was in Manhattan.
Who was this Jason? Why is there a boat?
But
is
what
it your
did
favorite?
You? Similar question.
What were you going to say?
I was like, well, what is it about Jason? That's like, I like this.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think it just happens to be because it was the first thing I saw. So it's like somebody's favorite James Bond or their favorite cast of SNL was the one that was first love for. So Jason, I think, was that. And I think it was because, in later reflection, I do think I like the Friday 13th movies because they are so... simple. I really enjoy watching something very simple where somebody just, a group of people get introduced and then they get killed off one by one. There's one person and Jason, and then that's it. So I think I like the simplicity.
On recent rewatching, I was floored by the continuity. Like, I forgot, like, as a kid, you don't give a shit about that.
Right.
But then to, like, see it go through, and then you get to, like, five where he's not even in it. And it's, again, it's the guy. Which we just talked about, the candy bar scene.
Yes. Vic. You better listen, Vic. Not very nice.
That Vic fucking
leave me alone!
Well, it's funny because that guy, you know, you don't know it's not Jason, whatever. It's a killer. And the reason you think that guy got killed is just because he's messy.
Like
he gets
a big
chocolate
flob
on bed sheets. And so it's like before you're like, I thought people got punished for like acting out but it's like, nope, just being messy.
Being a little slob.
Sort of gluttonous.
Which then triggers Jason Voorhees to kill people.
That's right.
Jason Voorhees air quotes to kill people as his slob brother got axed. Which is a funny justification.
Set it all off. But they really do start trying to do like a continuity. And what's fun about the podcast is like watching a franchise, and it's sort of like the first, we figured it out, like, I think it was the first part 4 or 5 or 6 of something like that hadn't happened yet. So it's really weird. There's Leonard Part 6, which is making fun of sequels, and that came out the year after Friday the 13th Part 6. So they're like, it's now with the Marvel universes of the world and whatnot, where everything's really planned out to a T to some extent. It's fun watching these franchises that like are sort of the first franchise in its infancy.
Yeah.
Trying to make up, figure out continuity. Like, it's just like so crazy how they bend over backwards.
It's like with Nightmare on Elm Street. We've talked about this before, of just like the second one is... not even a Freddy movie. Like, the rules are all gone.
Come out to your party. Jump out and chase people around your living room.
And firebirds. Not Pontiacs. Firebirds.
Like, that was the second one in now a franchise that has like 8 movies that I think they then kind of figured out. But like, how did it make it past that second one?
Definitely, and you think about how like that wouldn't really occur nowadays. If a horror film was successful and it was a surprise, I think they'd be a little more careful, I guess, with the Saw 2s. Trying to think of other Paranormal Activity 2.
Yeah. For some reason, and this is so not the same, but I'm immediately thinking of Mario. like Mario 1.
Oh, yeah, and yes. Mario 2 Freddy was 1, bonkers.
Yes. Mario 2 was bonkers and a totally different thing.
It was an absolutely different
game. And
then
with Part 3, they were like, we gotta nail this again.
Yeah.
And they did with Mario Nightmare. And Freddy.
Yeah, where it's like, Dream Warriors. We're back, baby.
We are back.
That's awesome. And I guess Mario in Part 3, like flying with a squirrel tail, similar to having your veins pulled out of your body and marionetted around you.
Holy shit, they're the same story. I just realized that. Beat for beat, they're the same exact story.
Peach is super into heroin and has like little mouths opening up in her face.
Perfect. Yeah. Let the record show.
I just watched that one.
I'm still here for Mario, too.
It is good.
Did you have any, we love to ask about like local haunts that you had in your hometown. Yes. Or what you guys would do for Halloween.
So horny for like life horror. Is that what you're saying?
Well, sort of like if you have both, because we like to end with like but we could do both now. Mm-hmm. One, did you have like a local haunted house that was like a maze and what was that set up? But then two, then what lore. Very like, what scary horror
thing in you? Yeah.
Two
this,
parts.
This reminds me of, did you guys see that Onion headline that's probably like a year old now or something, but it was like, neighborhood kids give local landmark status to house where guy killed himself. Like, when you're a kid and you hear something goes down in a house, you're like, every time you're just like that.
My God.
I had a friend who's a neighbor who lived across the street. She fell. It was a farm. There was a cow that she liked. She brought the cow in from the cold because she was worried about it dying from exposure to the freezing temperatures. She brought it in the basement. It ate too much and it couldn't go back up the steps. So she had to slaughter the cow in her own basement. So then it became like a bit every time you drive by our house, you're like, you know, that lady had to slaughter our cow.
Anyway, it is truly like what I remember more than anything historic, where I'm like, apparently something weird happened in this building.
Yeah. And it's always that same thing where you walk someone up to it, you're just all coy as fuck, and then you go, see that house? And then you slide into your story. Yeah.
You're not going to like spoil it cow. Two blocks away. Yeah. You're not going to start telling the story right in front of you.
Or you have it as the punchline where you're like, this story I've told, and then you go, see that house in front of you? That's where it all happened.
That's good. Yeah. And then you have a
before I forget,
candy dropped on you.
My brother-in-law bought a van like that, and we all yelled at him for years. Bought like a van where someone
like a murder
for
van?
A murder van
for a fact.
For a fact, he bought it at auction.
Like and somebody auction? Had used it for a
something
murder van.
Awful had happened in it. They had to disclose that, but he got like a relatively new minivan for like $2,000.
Oh my god!
And we were like, no, and he was like, it's a great deal.
Well, it didn't.
Covered in blood, I heard the semen.
Still,
it's character.
It was like one of those conversion vans with like a TV in it and stuff.
Could you help me get this couch into the back of this van? My arm's broken.
Yeah, was there a couch and a sling for?
It was awful. And like, we wouldn't go in it for years until like eventually we kind of just were like, oh god, okay. We just kind of gave
you
in
have to accept it. Yeah,
I've driven around in that van.
I heard, that somewhere in Los Angeles, I think it's where the studios were Funny or Die Art, somebody owns the Columbine car.
Oh my god.
Somebody bought the car and it's parked there. So
really?
fuck
you're
dog.
Visiting Los Angeles with your family on a vacation. So I'm sorry, I got distracted. Okay. What was
maybe
the,
now
so,
like urban wait, did
so
you,
what was the scary
there what yeah, maybe the urban legend thing
oh,
now?
Oh yeah. There was like there was a place called Lottie's Grave that was like if you went there and like farted near the tombstone, Lottie would come out and kill you. I don't know. It was dumb. And I remember we went there late one night to try to find it. We just like walked around a field most of the time. But we didn't, I'm trying to think like, this is the thing that was like, I think haunted people in my community and stuff was the, I came of age during the in Iowa, there was the, I grew up in Iowa, and there was the Johnny Gosch kidnappings from Des Moines. And there was some sort of like...
I watched a documentary.
Yes, yes. Johnny, when Johnny's not home.
It was something like that. On Netflix.
Yeah.
You want to check it out?
I want to watch that. Sick.
But yeah, I think so. The sort of like specter of stranger danger, I think, was something that was like sort of always around. This is a very, very dark anecdote, but I was. When I was like in second or third grade, I was walking home and I went to a Catholic school. I was raised Catholic. And so I'm walking along and I'm like, I know I'd like to eventually have sex, but I know I'll go to hell having sex before I get married. So how are we going to do this? And I started thinking like, well, I hear about people abducting kids. What if somebody abducted me and forced me at gunpoint to have sex with a beautiful woman? I guess God would be okay with that and forgive me. So that's how warped that you're like, I guess if I want to have sex, it'll have to be at gunpoint.
And that's how horny you are as a kid.
Beautiful babe.
Workarounds.
Because that's what people who kidnapped you, they just want to make sure you make love to a beautiful babe.
Quick, farm boy, get in my van. Now have sex with Pamela Anderson.
What?
Oh God, that is so fun. I was raised Catholic as well. Really warps you, man.
Yeah, it does a number.
It really does.
It's scary.
Yeah. Like, it's been the last few years that I've kind of gotten rid of my doubt and like Catholic guilt.
Yes,
and I still, once in a while, it'll creep in there and make me crazy.
It is. It's really a
lot.
Yeah. And it's interesting. Well, to bring it back to horror, you know, The Exorcist, like they say that the Catholic Church loved it because it was like a 2.5 hour, like the greatest commercial you could possibly have for the Catholic Church.
Exactly.
Which is
like, see?
This is real.
See?
Yeah.
It's going to happen to you and we'll be able to help or whatever.
And it's not even just other people have said this before. It's not like any Christian person can get the devil out of you. It takes a Roman Catholic priest, like the devil only identifies.
Oh my God. Won't dignify you unless you're...
Because I grew up Greek Orthodox, which is a stone's throw away from that.
Yes.
And just to share a tale of Christian terror, I had to go on this Lenten retreat one year, which is where during Lent, you go and not eat meat and be around other people and talk about God and stuff. And the theme of the weekend, because the weekends always had themes, was when Jesus returns, he will return like a thief in the night. And
a thief in the night?
Yes, that's a thing that the Bible apparently says, is that he will return like a thief in the night. You will not see it coming. So I didn't sleep that whole weekend because I took it so literally.
You fucking rock.
I literally had like a view of outside and I kept being like, oh God, I don't need to see Jesus. Just literally walking up like Michael Myers.
Takes your Game Boy and shimmies out the balcony.
That's good.
Yeah.
With those eyes like the Jesus from Carrie.
Glowy eyes.
The glowy eyes just
so
walking
scary.
In your room.
Oh, terrifying.
Those glowy eyes are scary in Carrie.
Crucifixes are so terrifying.
Yeah, they're intense. Horrifying. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe when you asked me what my first exposure to horror was, it might have been like being age 4 and looking up at like nails in the palms of somebody and be like, what on earth?
Yes. And just bleeding and sad
and then
looking.
Just being like, he died for you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know him.
Yeah.
He died for you.
For introduce me first.
I don't know him.
Yeah. Take me out to dinner first.
Buy this 4-year-old a drink first. I have a question. What kind of scary movie would you like to be in?
Yeah. And like, what character?
What character would you be?
Well, who I would want to be and who I would be are two different things that I face constantly throughout life.
So the who you would want to be would be like the Freddy Dream version where you see yourself as like, this is it.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. You know, I recently watched Candyman. And to be like a professor of urban lore who encounters something that like it's almost like Indiana Jones where you're like you're a cynic Yes. Or a skeptic. And then you encounter something where you're like, I have to accept that this is true.
Right. Yes. Late in the second act.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, right before I have to face off with the Candyman.
Yeah.
So I think that would be cool because you get to do some investigating and you also get
And you also like kind of know what to do little bit. Yeah. It's kind of like, well, if it's this.
And at some point, the Candyman could force you at Hook to make out with Virginia Madsen. So.
My third grade self would be like, yeah, that's awesome.
But then who you think you might actually be?
Now, who I'd actually be is just probably, it's always going to be like the practical jokester who gets killed like second or third.
Pretty quick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's Shelly in Friday the 13th part 3. He's the guy who actually, the reason the hockey mask comes along is because it starts off as a prank. Like a guy puts on the hockey mask, Shelly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's giving everybody trouble with his pranks. Yes. And his prank there is to put on the hockey mask, which is funny to be like, look at, I'm Jason. Before Jason was him. And then in part 8, there's somebody who like puts on a hockey mask. Recently, when I was watching, puts on a hockey mask to scare somebody. I was like, well, A, that was already the first time.
Yeah.
And then also what's weird about it is like, I guess it's just everybody knows like, hey, they made a bunch of movies with Jason now. And you know his hockey mask is pretty famous, right? So I'm going to scare you in this movie. Yeah, so I'd end up probably being the practical jokester
who that's good.
Who gets his number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah. Where you think the tables turned on you of like, hey, okay, man, funny joke.
Oh, right.
That was me, and then you get killed.
I love those. And then like the boy who cried wolf times where it's like the practical jokester is coming in and his throat is really slick. Yes. And he's like, get out of here,
get out of here.
your production value's through the roof on this bit, but get out of here.
I also, the other thing I like too, which is kind of similar, is in movies like horror movies where when somebody goes to the cops and if the cops I hate this, it's frustrating as a viewer that you're like, the cops aren't gonna believe them.
Yep.
I'm gonna have 20 minutes of them, you're bummed out about that. Mm-hmm. But what you do get in exchange for it is the cop going like, yeah, I'll keep an eye out for him and Santa Claus. So that's the trade off I'm
it
willing
is
to make.
So good.
And then you get to see
a bunch of clowns. Okay. Like,
yeah, right.
It's so
let me write
funny.
That down.
Multiple people calling to complain. Yeah. Sure thing, another clown.
Okay.
I want to watch that monologue never end. Like, and then I'll get 7 little dwarves. And then we'll drive in a pumpkin that magically becomes a carriage. But wait, there's a poison apple.
But I fall in love with one of them. We get into a convertible that drives into the clouds. And we wave bye to our classmates.
The characters leave and then we come back to the end of it. He's still going.
And he sees them, looks at the phone and hangs it up. Okay. That's going to be one expensive call.
So funny.
Oh, we'll have to do it though.
The incredulous cop. The one from Killer Clowns is just so good.
Yeah.
So good.
Just, yeah.
Oh, that fucked me up as a child too because I saw that too young when he makes that cop a puppet.
Oh, yes. That's right.
That's awful.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Yeah. What kind of horror movie or genre is not your bag, baby?
Not
my bag.
You know,
good.
You're like, that's not for me. Baby. That doesn't scare me, or I just don't like it.
Yeah. I have to be self conscious here because I mispronounced the word BAG from my Midwestern accent.
Oh, yeah.
It's bag.
Right?
Yeah.
I want to hear the way you say it.
Big.
Like, put it in a big.
I like that.
So
do an impression of Austin Powers saying it's on my bag. Does your accent come into
Midwest Powers?
Yeah.
It's not my bag, baby.
Yes.
I like it.
Yeah, thank you.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Very good.
No, I'd say this stuff, this is going to fly in the face of what I just said with my Candyman response, but I love all horror movies. So, to say, but the ones that I'd say, like, I'm the least hungry for to watch are the, What do I try? Like the Clive Barker, like the impossible, the fantastical horror.
Is Nightbreed and
does that include Guillermo del Toro horror?
Sort of. And then like, but also just like, it's more to say what I do like are the ones that are like, more based in reality. The like Halloween is my favorite horror movie. I think it's, you know, just because it's like it feels it's in a neighborhood, so it feels like it could really happen, and it's scary, and that's more interesting to me. Like home invasion stuff is interesting and scary, like it's the scariest to me because it has the realm of it could happen, whereas like with vampires or ghosts it's harder for me to like fully lock in. I can at some point, and that's maybe what's exciting about those movies too, is like you realize like
when they're
I suspended my you know, whatever for 2 hours and believed that this was a possibility. But I would say that's probably why I like Friday the 13th the most too, because the even though eventually they go into space
and then it becomes a force of nature.
A giant worm that enters people's bodies, and
it's just like what they do with Halloween where it turns into like some cults bringing him back. He's a force of evil versus a human.
I've been rewatching I've been rewatching with a few friends the Halloween movies 2x2.
Oh nice.
So we watched 2, then 3 and 4, then we're up to 5 and 6 was the tough one, because 5 is like these really sort of bloodless, goryless kills.
Yeah.
And then 6 is the one where it's like, Michael, I mean, I love it, but it's like, Michael Myers is a part of a long, centuries-old blood cult. And you're like, what? Let's go.
Did you read about the time in between 5 and 6?
No.
Where it's like 6 years. So 5 ends with that cliffhanger where he gets busted out of jail by a guy in all black, and there's like a fire in it. Ends, you're like, what the fuck?
Yes.
6 years. And then they're like, well, here's what happened.
Because they just didn't want to, they wanted to be caught up 6 years into the, they wanted some alt rock hits to be playing on the radio for it to make sense.
I still argue that 4 is real fun.
I just watched 4 and I had a blast.
I mean, there are bad parts, but the idea is great.
What I like about it, the thing that I liked most about it was it's filmed in like Salt Lake City or something, and it's filmed in people's actual houses. So you see like such trappings of like what I grew up with in my childhood, which was like carpeted floors and kitchen cabinets that looked a certain way. And so like being in somebody's real house in Salt Lake City in 1988 is a true joy. The franchise, the thing of like how they get kind of crazy as they go on, reminds me, I forget who it was, but like maybe somebody on the AV club. I'm giving a big lip service to Onion and their AV club here.
Right?
But somebody, I wish I could remember the name, said the franchises like Friday the 13th or Nightmare on Elm Street or Halloween, they're the like cinematic version of Telephone, where he said like with Friday the 13th it starts it starts with a mother is killing people to avenge her son's death, and then eventually by part 9 it's worked to there's a worm that Jason embodies, and he goes he enters your soul, and then they are forced to honor the gods of Cthulhu. Like you're like, where did this go?
It is so funny, like all of a sudden superpowers or like supernatural powers are involved, and it does feel like Halloween is a crazy one.
The Saw, I had never watched like the Saw franchise or Paranormal Activity. Do they eventually start going up their own butt in a weird way, or they're trying to explain stuff?
Well, so Paranormal Activity 3 is the best.
It's
so it manages
it's
to like
a prequel.
Yeah, and they make it a prequel, but it manages to heighten to a good point, and then after that, you could argue it's iffy.
It's pretty wild, but they keep connecting
it
to the same
going
legacy,
and eventually they get to the ghost dimension, which goes through
that's
the walls.
A pretty fun one,
and it uses an Xbox Kinect to scan the ghost.
That's 4.
Okay.
Xbox 4
Kinect.
Is Xbox Kinect.
And it's boring.
And then 5
is it has that girl
I
kind of
liked
Hannah.
Again.
Okay.
5 was fun.
But to answer your question, they heighten to a point of absurdity. And then Saw, it gets that way too when what they do with that is they stop using the rules. And that's where the Saw falls apart, is like, it's a guy who's dying of cancer, a brain tumor, who wants to see what people are willing to do to themselves to atone for their past sins. So there is a way for them to get out. And then it just gets to a point where a guy's like, no, I just want to fuck people up.
He breaks his own code. Saw 1 in the theater at the Chinese theater on opening night, which is so weird then that I haven't seen any of the sequels, but people were laughing during it. Like, there's a part where Cary Elwes, like, and he's great, but there's a performance. There's a part.
Yeah.
There's a scene. Where it's people started laughing, and I was like, well, whatever. Who cares? People laugh during a movie. And then we walked out, and like, it was clear some of the people who were involved with the movie came out to see the movie on opening night. The other horror movie spectator experience that I had that I'd like to share is we went, group of friends and I went and saw White Noise, the Michael Keaton.
Dies and he listens to EVP.
Yeah, there's a ghost in my radio movie. And
Scary Frequency.
Yeah. They should have called it. What did they call it?
Boo.
But when we went, we realized as we were going in, they're like, there's going to be cameras taping you with what's that called?
Night vision.
Yeah. And we're going to use these in commercials.
Oh my God.
And then after we got out, they had the people with the camera to interview you as you're coming out to be like, it's dude. You definitely got to spend money to see this. Especially as, you know, what they're doing. And we got in line and it was a friends of ours, Neil Campbell and Mike Cassidy and I and some friends. We were talking, we're like, well, we want to get on TV. We want this to happen. And we know they're not going to use it if we're goofballs. So we can't be goofballs. Like, we made a rule. Like, don't goof around with this because it'll be really cool if we get to be on TV.
I love the three of you trying to be sincere about that.
Don't be goofballs.
Guys,
that's
let's
so
make
cute.
A pact.
And we got brought out in front of the camera and they're like, what did you think of the movie? And it wasn't like, one person was, and then it set off as all of us simultaneously were goofballs. Like, the second we did it, we immediately were like, it was so scary. And I remember our friend Chris went, he held his hand to his chest and he went, it was a buffet of scares. Like, as if they would use that.
That is so funny.
So it was so clear that we were goofing around. And as we walked away, these two guys were watching us, and as we walked by one of them like said to us, fake.
No.
Oh, yeah, you got us. We were trying to pull a fast one on you with buffet of scares.
Fake.
Yeah. Fake.
But yeah, it's fun watching horror movies in Los Angeles where you could maybe get a testimonial afterwards, or you find out you were mocking a movie that people spent a good year on.
Because when the credits go and you clap, like when that name comes on.
I must have seen Zodiac with the writer and his friends, because there was a big round of applause. And what was crazy, guys, sorry, just tell me boring stories about times I saw movies.
No, this is great.
But Zodiac, I saw it at the Dome on opening night, and it was framed so weird that all the little captions at the bottom, like the little text that tells you where you're at and what year, was blocked off. And they hadn't figured it out by the time on opening night.
Jesus Christ.
And so if you rewatch that movie, there's so many times
you
where
need
like,
to
you're
know
guided.
What's
yeah.
going on.
And, but people also didn't know what they were missing. So you're just kind of like watching it. And which is weird because, like, you know, David Fincher is a perfectionist. You think that would drive him crazy, which is... I saw Benjamin Button in the theater and they ran the old AMC logo over Benjamin Button as was happening, like their other projector. So, you know, the guy who comes out and he like tips over and falls into like popcorn, that was happening over Benjamin Button.
But it worked.
Yeah. I was like, hey, this is good.
It's funny as shit.
Yeah.
It's like a Buster Keaton film out of nowhere.
What a nightmare.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. So back to the podcast about spectating experiences.
You could have been in the theater with the Zodiac killer.
That's right.
Who knows?
Yeah.
You did it.
Like,
Each kill, they like applaud.
Funny you should be talking about derailments, because I have another derailment for you, Paul.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
As everyone who's anyone knows, I'm a huge fan of Would You Rathers.
Sure.
And I cooked up a bunch that I want your take on. And y'all's too. Why not?
Okay.
Who cares? So what? Who cares? Some are very specific to you. Some are just spooky. Okay, you ready?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Paul.
Yes.
Would you rather be a series regular on Wichita for 3 years?
Okay.
Specific.
From love.
Or live in that stinky, not Palm Springs house from love for 1 year?
Ooh. Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't
yeah.
that like, was it like Mitch's character's
yes, yes.
uncles?
So these, for people who haven't seen Love, there's a fictional
who
show.
Hasn't? Yeah,
get out of here, you y'all.
Yeah, you lunk.
Lunk, yeah.
You dumb lunk. Yeah.
That's the fake, Wichita is this fake sort of CW horror show.
I yes. would watch the shit out of it, too.
Yeah. Yeah, when we like put it in the show, we're like, are we wasting the best idea ever on as a joke?
Spin us. You would
make everyone billionaires.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then, and then the other one is, right, the Palm Springs
house.
Even
more
where,
niche
yeah.
reference to one episode.
Yes, Mitch's character says, I got a great vacation house, and then it's a real dump. So let mm-hmm. me think. I think I would rather, you know what? Sure, if I was a series regular on Wichita, I would be just bringing in heap loads of money
mm-hmm.
and yeah. power.
Yes.
But you know what? I do things for the art, guys.
Oh,
and that
shit.
Seems like the worst hell to experience is to be using my creative efforts for something I don't love. No, I would take the getaway, the shitty house for a year.
Okay.
Face that face.
Shitty house for a year. How about you guys?
And Mitch is still there.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
There
yeah that would be fun. Sure. That
I could
be
hang
a
out
blast.
With Mitch.
Sure. That'd be fun.
Then sign me up. I don't even need any qualifiers.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I guess realistically, I'd love to be on a TV show. So, yeah.
Let's oh, hell yeah. I knew it should die in a heartbeat.
Yeah. You should all know that that entire thing I just said was a big old ironic quote.
Dookie lie.
Give me that money. I'll be in any shit you want me to be.
I was gonna say at the end of this episode, there's a title card that says Paul actually took the show,
and everybody's scared. They're like, "Oh my god, I wasn't expecting that."
What hey, would Paul. You do, Lano?
Yeah, I would TV. TV seems cool.
TV. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Paul, would you rather build an IKEA dresser with the Ex Machina girl?
Oh shit!
Okay.
Or go on a date to a long play with Samira from The Ring. Samira?
She's the well girl.
Samira. Yes.
Well girl.
Well
from
what?
From the Ring. Well girl from The Ring.
Long hair, long play.
I saw last Halloween, there's a Japanese Ring versus The Grudge.
Oh my god.
And I watched it for Halloween. It was really good. I hope they make it in Hollyweird.
Ringu v. Ju-on?
Yes. Oh. Yeah.
There's a funny video on YouTube or whatever of like the Ring girl versus Grudge girl throwing the first pitch at a baseball game.
Yes.
Yeah, I saw
you
that.
You saw it in Tokyo.
I saw it, yeah.
Oh, is that where we saw it?
We saw it in Tokyo where it's just like a popular phenomenon that
and
like
everybody's cheering like Ring girl slowly walking, Grudge girl.
Yes.
That's awesome.
It's the equivalent of having a Mickey Mouse walk
yeah,
around.
Yeah, I was like, I guess it would be like
Japan.
Having Freddy Krueger play
so
soccer or something.
Funny.
Right? She's wearing cleats.
She has cleats
has
on.
Glove.
She's wearing
hair.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. For somebody who's a baseball fan and a horror fan, that's like their
it's
their
perfect.
Greatest,
day yeah.
ever.
You would have nutted if you were there.
I would have nutted if I was there.
And she was still sucking.
Wait, so build an IKEA thing? She's still sucking.
So,
build
what,
an IKEA
what
thing with
okay,
Ex Machina?
So, build an IKEA dresser with Ex Machina girl. She's like trying to get in your head the whole time. Yeah. And you're like, leave me alone.
Yeah,
leave
will you cut yourself open by the end of it being uh-huh. like, am I one?
Hey, it's okay. Ex Machina, not Machina. Okay, get out of here.
Or go on a date to a long play with Samara.
Like both I mean, parts of Angels in America.
Oh, boy.
You wouldn't have to talk to her much.
That's right. Like, yeah. It's like a bad date.
I
like,
she
we just were at the movies.
So she
talk.
Would be embarrassing.
She's like,
who's that? And who's that?
And it's something like I want to see.
Just watch the damn play.
Your hair's in your
that?
Face.
What are they doing?
If I don't know, you wouldn't know. If you don't know, why would I know?
We don't know yet.
Is he bad?
God,
is
we
he
don't
bad?
Know yet.
That's Harry Potter. This is the cursed child. Like, you know who Harry Potter is. You know these characters.
I would say I would do the long play.
Okay, I think I would
even,
too.
Even long, boring theater is still fun. It's a fun anecdote later with friends when you're like,
yes. Yeah.
Remember, there was such a funny old Conan bit on the late night show that was the dysfunctional family that diffuses situations with memories of seeing bad movies. It was like a long thing where it was like,
that is so
it's like a
funny
Thanksgiving dinner. Everybody, it's getting tense. The family's about to fight. And then somebody goes, hey, remember when we saw Bicentennial Man? That movie was awful. And they all laugh about it. Like, that is funny. That, like, that can bond people.
That's what you've been doing during this horrible podcast recording is talking about what you've seen in theaters.
No, I'd like to think if I was at this like boring play, I could turn to to the Old Ring and be like, we'd bond over it. We'd be like,
yeah, like, remember this this awful thing we went saw?
Stupid.
Hey, don't kill me. Remember when we saw that play together? We didn't leave early.
I gotta throw a baseball.
I'll get back in the well.
What about you guys?
I gotta throw
what
a baseball.
What would you rather?
I think long play.
Honestly, just the dresser sounds like a nightmare by itself.
Yeah.
I don't do that stuff. My my wife is quite handy.
Yeah.
And she does all the handy person stuff around the house. And we laugh about it because I wash the dishes. I like washing dishes.
Wait, you're in the kitchen?
Yeah, I'm in the kitchen.
You're
She's
a man.
The one with the nails in her mouth. What
year is this? I better Google who the president is right now to make sure I'm where I need to be.
Is this 1948 when things like that started happening? The idea that this is a novel thing, but it's like, well, people in pioneer days. Yeah. I'm sure way before that. Year one.
Year one.
Dust Bowl started. That's when it began.
Okay, I have at least another barn a couple burner. More, yeah. But I tell me when I need to stop.
Would you Dan rather?
Okay. Would you Dan rather grow 500 ears all over your body everywhere?
Okay.
Now we're getting there.
This is what we're talking about. This will get us.
Or your eyes grow 700% in size.
700% in size.
You know how big 700% is?
A lot.
Oh, we need to ask Paul. Okay, answer the question.
Okay, let me think. I would say ears, they say, are an erogenous zone, right? So if I was covered in ears, I would be nutting all over.
All over.
Everywhere I sat, anytime I rolled on my back. I would choose that. What about you guys? Ears, big ears.
And I'd wear like clothing that just covered everything.
Right,
because if my eyeballs are 700 times larger, percent bigger, I can't go anywhere. I have to hang out in an aircraft hangar. Like
push them around. Like, yeah. How do you keep your head up?
Is that
700 times bigger than your eyes right now, Mono? What is fucking huge.
What you just did right there was like 5%.
This is 5% more?
No, I mean, maybe
25. Okay. Is this 700?
No, that's like
Mono.
What's 100?
Right.
Mono's holding his hands an inch from his face.
I have no clue with like numbers or estimations or anything like that. I went to a festival once, a music festival with some friends. And we were like getting waters and we were like, a lot of people are here, huh? And we're like, yeah. And they're like, how many people do you think are actually here? They're like, I don't know. And then I went, maybe like a million? And my friend went, million. And I still didn't know if that was too little or too much.
No.
I was like, too little? There's more than a million?
Yeah.
I'll do that like at concerts.
I'm with you on that.
Someone will be like, wow, there's 15,000 people here. And I'm like, 15,000? Does not seem like 15,000.
So you under.
Yeah.
It's the. They're going to change now from the half full, half empty glass thing to do you think there are 1,500 people in this stadium?
Yeah.
watching okay. Third Eye Blind or not?
How much do you think the xenomorph from Aliens weighs?
Oh, ooh. Yes.
This has been a point of contention on this show.
Yeah, I gave another shot.
We'll let you guess, and then we'll say what we guess.
Some people supported what I said.
Okay, let me think, because that's, I'm going to say...
Oh, my God.
The aliens, you know, like, from...
From the original Alien. Okay. Running around the spaceship.
Not the queen.
Shooting right. Through little chutes.
And then the queen, because
that xenomorph is pretty lean and mean. So I'm going to say 265 pounds.
Great okay. guess. Yes. Great guess. Yeah.
That's kind of where we're around
220.
Did I what price this right? Queen. Did I over?
No, nope, you're good because okay. we were lower.
I was higher.
Mona, go ahead and give your estimate.
Mona was like, queen, right?
How much?
You said no, like, the queen.
700 pounds.
For the queen, I thought nope. like she's like 2 tons, right?
Tons. You said that about the xenomorph. You said
no,
it was at least a
queen.
You said at least a ton.
Whatever, I'm insane.
Do you know what that is? You know, like a lot of Halloween as well, it should get the due credit for the slasher movie.
Mm-hmm.
But like, if you think about how Alien came out the year after Halloween, it's essentially like Halloween on a spaceship. And I don't think they could have ripped it off as quickly.
Yeah,
I think that was just two zeitgeisty things. They were both like, they captured the imagination in those 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But the other weird thing is Jaws 2, which doesn't get much love or acclaim, that's all about a group of teenagers who get killed by Jaws. And now a movie where it's about a group of teenagers. But when I watch Jaws 2, I'm always like, this is weird that they like did this before Friday the 13th, or they did it the same year as Halloween. Like, Jaws 2, what I'm saying is Jaws 2 should get some more credit about the idea of off and off a group of good looking teens.
Never even thought of that.
Interesting, because when I saw it recently, I wasn't watching it in that context. I was watching it in the context of like, ugh, they're trying to do what other movies have done well with teens.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Yeah,
That's very interesting.
That is so interesting.
Well,
is Jaws 2 good?
I wouldn't say it's good.
It's bad.
And it's like if you had a kid who was like a star student and like the school like got a full ride to Harvard, the greatest school there is. Okay.
He's got a Letterman sweater.
And then your next kid, like, their mouth was an anus. You would just be like,
They had eyeballs 700% bigger.
Yeah. Don't make me choose.
One more.
Let's do one more.
Yeah, okay, yeah, one more. Okay, good.
One more.
It's really horror related, too. Okay, would you rather every time you laugh, instead of laughing, you make this noise? Or every time you pee, scream bloody murder.
Oh man, that's tough.
Every time you laugh,
or every time you pee, like,
pee and scream bloody murder. I already do that. Oh God!
What's happening to me?
I'd say pee and scream bloody murder, although, because laughter, to be robbed of that, guys, as comedians, I think we could all agree.
Yeah.
It's one of the great joys in life is our own laughs. So, but you would have to figure out, like, your bathroom breaks. Like, you'd have to be like, I'm not even going to be able to pee after the movie at the theater because everybody's going to think I'm a real Ronald weirdo. I went for the alliteration of Ronald weirdo. What would you do? How about you?
I guess pee. Yeah.
Yeah.
The pee one.
Yeah. You could never go see
laughing
it.
Is just so fun, and we
do it
connect.
So much.
I had a friend who told me the idea of having to do something every day for the rest of your life. His dad went and was having some pee problems, and the doctor was like, "Okay, so well, here's a catheter, and you put the catheter in, you pee this way, and then it won't hurt." And the his dad was like, "Okay, and then how long do I have to do this?" They're like, "Oh, for the rest of your life."
No.
So anytime I think about like when I'm in bed, I don't want to get up to pee, and I'm like, I don't want to get up to go to pee.
Mm-hmm.
I think, but what if I had to go up to pee and self catheterize every time? Like, I would, that would
slide in
there. Yeah. Maybe after a while you'd get used to it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You'd be cool, be able to pull up. You're like, hey, it's a party trick. But
and how dare they for bearing the lead of like, this is gonna be every day.
Right. They should at the beginning say what I'm about to tell you. You have to do every day for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You'd come up with a far worse. You'd be like, lick the devil's asshole.
Catheter or devil's asshole?
Well, they told him, and then the guy went home and he opened his mail, and the doctor mailed him a title card that said, "For the rest of your life."
Oh, no.
Okay, one more lightning round. This is lightning round.
Yes, lightning round.
And it's Paul Rust specific. Mm. Would you rather, for the rest of your life, pursue a vocation at the Bluth Company? Oh, you have to work at the Bluth Company?
Yes.
Or you have to return to your line of work as an inglorious bastard? You have to make it your life's work.
Well, they're both so cutthroat. Either one.
Yes.
I would say I'd probably do the Bluth Company because I wouldn't want to live in wartime for the rest of my life.
Right.
Although it would be pretty badass wartime. But
yeah.
I think it would take its toll after a while. I would just be like, you know, I don't want some Saturday or Sunday just to, for me time.
Just yeah. chill out. Yeah. No, we got to go hunt Nazis.
I don't want to beat a guy's head with a baseball bat today. It's Saturday.
Weird, though, that I'm choosing real estate over like killing Hitler. Yeah. You could either win World War II for the rest of your life or have to work in real estate. I choose real estate.
Support McMansions being built all over the country.
That's right. Oof. That's right.
Interesting. One's more steady.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was Would You Rather.
Would You Dan Rather?
Would You Dan Rather?
Just the one final question we would have for you then is what is the scariest thing you've seen? And we don't mean like real world, like someone like going bonkers and, you know, but like, is there any been anything paranormal or just anything unexplainable in your life?
Oh, I see. Cause I thought you meant what's the scariest thing I've seen in a movie.
Oh no, for your life. And it can be real too. Like Gabrus told a story about how there was this guy walking around backyards and he and his friend were having a sleepover and they saw the guy look through the window. Mm. It could be something like that. Whoa. Or if it's paranormal, it's up to you.
Okay. I think I know. When I was a kid, you know, the walk up from the basement upstairs is a scary one
because
your back is turned and anything can happen when your back is turned. But what was scary about it, the first house we lived in, people were like, first house? Whoa, Mr. Richie, when he was in kindergarten, moved into a different, separate house and no longer lived in that first one. Ooh.
Ooh.
I think most people do. What was scary about it was not only was my back to the basement, but the door to the garage, to the outer world, was at the top of the stairs. So I always had this vision of I'm being chased upstairs, but once I get to the top, that door flies open and then a monster
something
grabs
else.
Me. And I always imagine it's sort of like a white-faced, like black-haired, like woman. Like sort of like a kabuki-esque. Ish sort of thing. So I always had that in my mind. Oh. And one night I was going up the steps and I was like, you think you're gonna see that face? You're not gonna. Don't worry. You know that this is just a fear. My parents' friend, who had just gotten done with a play.
Oh, get out of here.
And was wearing like stage makeup.
Like geisha makeup?
Yeah, like just like, just
powdery.
Yeah. Powdery makeup. Popped her face in at that moment when I was walking up the set. And I guess this sort of dovetails to the thing when you're a kid, you don't know the rules.
Yeah. You believe it.
I thought like a phone doesn't have teeth. And then I picked up and a phone had teeth. That was basically what happened to me. Like my real fear became like actualized before my eyes. And I lost it. I burst into tears and like ran to my parents.
Oh my God.
And then of course my parents' friend was like, I don't know, I'm so sorry. You know, but she traumatized me.
I'm sorry, I was playing Willy Wonka. I don't understand. Your kid's acting like a Ronald weirdo. I don't know.
I think you traumatized her too. She was I'm terrifying on sight. My face makes children.
Children recoil at my sight.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that was scary.
Oh my God.
But thank goodness I haven't had to face real fears. You know, I coached an improv team though once, and on the that's not the
that's
I
love the scary thing.
But when I was walking to the coach, I got mugged at gunpoint.
Oh, shit.
And so that was probably like a real life scary thing.
Do you mind telling that story? Because I know it was,
you know it.
Yeah.
I was walking. It was like the sun was going down, and I was going to like maybe like a 5 or 6 o'clock like coaching session.
It's so early.
And I was walking. Yeah, it was a Friday night.
Those were the days.
And I was walking to it, and I remember the sun was going down, and I saw two teenage gentlemen walk towards me, and I was like, they're gonna mug me. Like, I had this like sense, like, the way they're coming at me, something's going to go down here. And he reached into his the front of his coat and out of his pocket, pulled a gun and pointed at me. And he was like, they were like, give me your wallet and your phone. Give me what's in your pockets. And so I took out my wallet and my phone.
Were you frozen quiet? Like what?
Yeah, I was just like, okay, okay, sure, sure. You know, and then I gave it to them. And then I thought, they started walking away and I was like, you don't need my driver's license. Like, because I thought in my mind, this is going to suck having to get a new driver's license.
Yeah.
And they don't need it. There's nothing to their benefit financially here having it or whatever. Like, maybe somebody could resell it as a, they could sell it to McLovin. and what's weird is they stopped and they sort of conferred and they're like, okay, yeah. And then they walked back, and then so...
Wait, they walked away, and you trotted back up to them.
As they walked away, I said to them, wait, you don't need my driver's license, and they stopped, and then they walked back, and then it's getting darker, and they're looking through my wallet, and all of our hands are, like, shaking. We're all, like, nervous about this.
Oh, my God.
And so we pull out all of the cards. He pulls out all of the cards at once and just gives them to me. So now he's given me my credit card and my debit card, stuff that would be of value, perhaps, along with the driver's license. And so we're using like a cell phone light to like look at everything. And they're like, just take it, take the cards. And then I feel bad that they now don't have my debit card. And I realize I went, there's no cash in the wallet. And I reached into my pocket. And I realized I still had cash that I didn't give them. So I gave them the cash as a thank you for the debit card.
Wow.
And then they start walking away again. And I go, but you don't need my cell phone. And they went, fuck you. And then
Incredible. So that to me says you would be a different person in the horror movie than you think. Because brave enough to like be like, hold on, let's think about this.
Or dumb enough. Yeah, I'm the person at the end who like, right, the Ripley moment where they're they go like, fuck this. I'm gonna take it in my own hands.
Yes.
Which is fun. Yeah.
Oh my God. That's such a great story.
Thank you for sharing that, dude. Thanks so much. We appreciate you all. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
You're so fun.
You guys are all the best, and I loved hanging out with you.
Oh, thank you. We might have you back.
I'd love that.
Kind of an episode, whether it's character, something like that.
Has somebody done a character?
No.
Oh,
no.
No one's done a character.
A Carrie-based character.
No, Caro.
Oh, Caro.
Male Carrie.
Caro. Cario.
Cario.
And he started Caro's, that delicious eatery that we all go to.
That we're all headed to right now.
Yep.
We're going to go.
Yeah,
we're all at Caro's. Caro's.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks, guys.
Oh, you're the best.
Horny for Horror.
This has been Horny for Horror. Is there anything you need to plug?
Yeah. No, that's good. You can listen to that in Voorhees We Trust podcast.
Yes.
If you like horror podcasts, you like Friday the 13th, that's the thing to listen to.
Give it a
Go
listen, you fucking lunks.
Yeah, you lunk. Damn lunks.
I'm Mono.
I'm Betsy.
I'm Adam.
Stay horny. That was your laugh.
That was your laugh.
Oh, yeah.
If you had a laugh that was, when you had seen Saw, they would have thought that you guys were all scared.
Yeah.